You are watching Counterspin, New Zealand's media revolution. The platform where truth lives and the government and bought and paid for media lies come to die. Find us at counterspinmedia.com.
May 12th, 2024. Welcome to Counterspin. I'm Calvin L.
And I'm Hannah Spira. And we have got a great show coming up for you. Calvin, what's the topic of this show going to be?
Everything that's wrong with the state, basically, and everything's wrong with all their little minions and parasitical leeches that feed off their tits on behalf of the globalists that want to subjugate mankind to create their own wet dream utopia.
Yep, and so we are specifically going to be talking about the order followers, the police, and the brutality that they are committing against caring not only New Zealanders, but also our fellow patriots over the ditch in Australia. And we're going to have a really good discussion with a guy by the name of Nick Patterson. Many of you be aware of him now because he's having some really great wins against the police. Before we bring him on, though, Calvin, let's do a little bit of a discussion about what's happened in New Zealand here. The big story, of course, Liz Gunn and Jonathan Clarke, they were back in court this week for their trial.
Yes, they were. In fact, anyone who's been watching that trial and following Counterspin as we've been delivering it to you, you will notice that before the sound was played to a video, because it took them almost a year to get airport security footage to show the assault. And the, as we know, airports are covered from every which way you could possibly think of. They would find a rat hiding in a corner. But it just so happens that the footage they released was of something happening behind a pillar. Hello. Or something from a far distance. Because they knew they were in the crap, let's face it. And the lies, the absolute lies that those cops told on the stand. And then they had to backtrack and they looked like complete dicks with eggs on their face. Why? Because then the cameraman, who they tackled to the ground and that, had his sound on his camera still recording. So when you gave even their crappy footage that they released and then overlaid the sound, it painted a whole nother story. And it was even the people in the gallery gasped, thinking, you corrupt bastards. At this stage, the case is now under a reserved decision. I think it's the 21st of May at 3:45, the judgment's meant to be delivered. No one in their right mind is expecting a guilty anything. The cops brought an assault charge after a security guard had the police try and trespass Liz and Jonathan. Rules of the airport are quite simple. You can film as much as you want without permission unless it's for commercial purposes, then you must seek legal advice or get permission for that. They were not there in a commercial capacity. They were filming their friends from, what's the island called again?
Tokelau.
Tokelau. They were the ones, of course, featured in the shows about getting locked down because they refused to take the jab while everyone else did, and they got threatened and all sorts.
For 14 months. They were
14 months. Basically house arrest, yeah. And they even had firebombs all sorts thrown. And then,
so this all happened about a year ago that Liz and Jonathan were filming that. They were then asked by one of the security guards to not film because they didn't like the size of the camera being used.
Camera envy, I think it was.
Yeah, and Liz very gently put her hand on one of the, well, the security guard. It was, you know, a very, just a gentle touch.
But it's Liz's way. She goes like this. She goes, excuse me, like just like anyone else would. So it's just, you know, and what third degree burns
but
from
do
her
you know the interesting thing? Because that security guard was put on trial. She had to testify as well. And when she was asked how much pain that caused her out of 10, she said 5 out of 10.
And then, and of course, the defense lawyer ripped her a new one and basically said, so she put her hand gently on your arm. Yes, she admitted that. So if this is going to cause 5 on the Richter scale of pain readings out of 10, then imagine what would do. It'd just blow her head off. She'd be decapitated.
Yeah, so then within 18 seconds of the police turning up, they had actually basically
thrown them to the ground, caused
Liz
a lot of damage.
And Jonathan to the ground, and they've both been charged with resisting arrest. The trespass orders and charges have been dropped, but then of course Liz is still facing the assault charge as well. So Matthew Haig from Frontline Law actually said that he's never seen this kind of case in the courts, and he says it's basically, you know,
wouldn't get on the starter block usually.
Yeah, and there's many other cases of much bigger assault charges that aren't actually going to the courts because the police just don't have the resources. So this is clearly an attack on two people that are speaking the truth, and they don't want to allow them to get away with this, and they're trying to basically, it's just lawfare, like what we've been experiencing.
The entire Western world is under attacks from all quarters, just like in our media space. Okay, this is the digital battle space. This is one we're determined to win. We smash their narratives on a daily basis, so they need to shut us down. Counterspin Media is the last platform standing, the only one that hasn't been intimidated, the only one who hasn't been co-opted, created as controlled opposition. We are the only ones, and I can say that without any fear of contradiction. So that's why they're trying to shut us down so damn hard, and that's why we're facing a long time inside.
Yeah,
take a big towel.
Our story is, if you don't know about our story, we'll do a bit more of an in-depth show about that coming up soon. But of course, we are both facing 14 years for allegedly sharing a link to a
I'm facing two times that. Why? Because they want a double take.
Yeah, it's a link to a foreign-based website about a
investigative documentary website. This is part of journalism.
Yes.
This is the one they don't want you people in New Zealand to see, or anywhere else in the world. This is Jacinda Ardern in a Christchurch call. Remember, she's the WEF darling who was installed in New Zealand politics. Now she's driving the internet censorship and trying to shut everyone down under hate speech laws that they're pulling out their ass. It's complete bedlam. The entire Western world is getting smashed at the moment. And if you happen to say, hang on, this is a bit off, they will use all the powers of the state that they have actually stolen off you, by the way, turned around and weaponized it against you. That's your judicial system, security services, intelligence, and every other parasitical leech they can dig up from the ground.
Yeah, and we've got to give a shout out to Rumble here. If you guys aren't on Rumble yet, rumble.com, they've actually been issued a takedown order from the New Zealand government for the same link that we are accused of sharing, but also now the Barry Young whistleblower data. And they are basically telling the New Zealand government to
pound
go
sand.
Get fucked.
Yeah. That's good. See, so, you finally swore. I've been trying to get you to do that for ages.
So there you go. We must support Rumble at this point.
And Gab. Gab's
yes,
another
Gab's,
one.
Sorry, it was Gab as well. Yes, Gab.
Gab.
Yep, so they are not bowing to the censorship.
And they've put so much pressure
government.
On Liz Gunn over the last year that she has just had attacks for left, right. The online trolling is just horrendous. But we laugh at them because they're obviously mentally unstable. They need a bit of attention. Maybe their parents touched them inappropriately. Who knows? And they haven't dealt with the trauma. But she's had it 6 weeks from Sunday. So it's been called a tactical withdrawal to take those offending videos down. So we thought we'd give her a boost. So we took those videos, we re-uploaded them, and I sent out a call to Simpson Grierson, the lawyers who browbeat FreeNZ, and invited them to try that shit on Counterspin Media. They have not come near us, and we've had them up for ages.
And we actually encourage everybody to download and re-upload
upload
all
them
those
everywhere.
Videos. Yep, because the more of us share it, the better. So I think that's a good little introduction to what's going on here in New Zealand to bring you up to speed on that brutal case that Liz is facing, because, of course, she's got injuries to her shoulder and her arm, and it was actually the police that committed brutality against her.
They should be up on charges.
Yeah, they definitely should be. And our next guest, I'm going to give you a bit of an introduction, and then we are going to play one of his little videos about the brutality that he's been experiencing, and then we'll be right back with him. So his name is Nick Patterson, as I said at the beginning. He is a multifaceted individual whose life journey has been marked by the deep commitment to his faith, family, and fighting for justice. As a devoted Christian, Nick has dedicated over two decades to Christian ministry, embodying his beliefs in his actions and advocacy. His passion for combat sports led him to a successful career as a professional MMA fighter, where he achieved the remarkable feat of being ranked number one in Australia in two weight classes. Nick's prowess in the ring earned him multiple titles and garnered respect within the martial arts community. Beyond the arena, Nick extended his impact by running a thriving martial arts program and gym for 12 years. However, his entrepreneurial endeavor faced a formidable challenge with the onset of COVID lockdowns, which targeted his industry and led to the closure of his gym. Now, Nick has directed and redirected his energy towards combating social injustices. He became deeply involved in anti-child trafficking efforts, collaborating with organisers like Veterans on Patrol along the US-Mexico border. Additionally, Nick played an instrumental role in organising, speaking and providing security for rallies during the COVID lockdowns, advocating for individual freedoms and challenging official narratives. Nick's courage in speaking out against police and government corruption hasn't come without consequences. For the past 4 years, he has faced prosecution by corrupt authorities due to his vocal stance against official narratives. Despite these challenges, Nick remains steadfast in his mission, amplifying his message through platforms like his Telegram channel, Fight Corrupt Police. At his core, Nick Patterson embodies resilience, integrity, and an unwavering commitment to fighting for what is right, making him a powerful voice for change in his community and beyond.
And I've got to say, at that juncture, that is a real Christian. Not the plastic Christian trolls that we have that sit on their ass and say, oh, no, it says in the book here, we're meant to go through all this. Yeah, no, we're going to be safe down there. They forget they got given free will, human agency, use the bastard and change things. If all these wankers got out of the churches, rolled up their sleeves and did what they pray to have done, we'd have this fixed tomorrow.
Yeah. If more men were like Nick, then it would be a different world. So I just want
to... So there you trolls and accounts for media chats and all other platforms. That is a real Christian coming on, not you plastic bastards. Have to say that.
Yeah, and I just want to say from a technical point of view as well, I am switching live here. So please do forgive me if I my fingers get a bit wayward
on me.
There'll
be a lot of forgiveness, I tell you.
So yeah, let's play this video of Nick being brutally assaulted by the police over there in Australia. And then,
let's see what happens.
Yep.
County Court judge has found Victoria Police used unlawful and unjustified violence on anti-lockdown protesters at the height of the COVID pandemic. In a spectacular turnaround, the protesters will have their charges dropped and the police could be facing charges of their own.
The judge was scathing about police who arrested Nick Patterson and two others at an illegal anti-lockdown protest. She said they used unlawful violence, unnecessary and unwarranted force. Judge Liz Gaynor concluded, I'm satisfied that the police were the aggressors and that they employed unjustified violence. Bittersweet for Patterson.
A lot of stress, financial stress, emotional stress on my client. Besides the fact that he was injured and he was kept in custody for over a month.
Charges against Patterson and the others will now be dropped after the judge ruled police evidence inadmissible. A victory for all protesters.
We're seeing the police use these sort of tactics routinely at protests. They're coming, they're the ones causing trouble.
The judge's ruling could trigger action against police.
Sometimes in cases you do find that police themselves get charged because if you use excessive force, then for all of us, and that includes police, that's called an assault.
Lawyers for the protesters anticipate the charges against their clients will be formally dropped at a hearing here on May 20th. They also say it's ridiculous for police to investigate police conduct.
Any complaints that we've made to the police about these matters met with letters from the internal investigation section of the police saying they couldn't see any evidence of misconduct. Well, Her Honour could see it quite clearly, couldn't she? So that's the concern.
Nick McCallum, 7 News.
All right. So, Calvin, did you want to say anything about that?
Oh, no, I'm going to let Nick explain that and we'll just ask the questions because he's got all the answers.
Okay, well, let's get straight into it and let's bring Nick on.
Same thing.
All right, welcome to the show, Nick. It's
That'll
great
get the
to have you
going,
on.
I'll tell you now.
How are you? Thanks for having me.
So is there anything else you want to add to your bio before we get into it? Or do you just want to start by telling people how you even, why did you decide to stand up to these COVID tyrannical rules?
Oh, it's pretty simple. I mean, it was a lie, right? So as a biblical Christian, someone that actually is a real Christian, yeah. I'm not going to, if there's a great big lie going on, I'm going to try to break down that narrative because that's how these psychopaths get their power. It's always by perpetuating a lie. And they're very good at perpetuating a lie. That's the stronghold of power. Like COVID was a great big lie. The climate change agenda is a great big lie. Even our monetary system, the way it works, fractional reserve banking, is just a lie, right? So they use lies to create the justification to take away some of your power to keep you safe, and it's a lie. So that's the proof that our voice is actually very powerful, because when we speak the truth, we break down the narrative, and the evidence of the power of our voice is evident by the fact that these governments around the world and big tech companies will employ so many resources limiting your ability to speak or completely restricting it.
That's exactly right. The one thing I was impressed with, I mean, I saw your interview with Avi Yemini, and you know the part there that captivated me more than anything? I mean, we know that the Aussie cops, I mean, I remember when they had to send a New Zealander over to the New South Wales police force to try and clean it up. It was so damn well corrupt. They had to bring someone from the outside because it couldn't be reformed from within. I don't think much has changed, to be honest, because we're basically just exporting corruption in that case, because we've got a lot here. We've got cops who run pedophile rings and everything, you know. We can have done stories on that, yeah. So the one thing that I was impressed with, first of all, the first question I'll ask is, you won this because you had the facts and evidence on your side, and it was so blatant and so opposed or in contradiction to their sworn statements that they couldn't find it any other way. Otherwise, the people would have just said, that's so blatant, you corrupt bastards. And maybe, because the Aussies have got a bit of spine when they really get going. New Zealanders usually shagging sheep and bloody asleep, you know what I mean? I mean, we will complain, we'll ring up TalkBack, give them a mouthful, slam the phone and go, yeah, we certainly told them, then go back to sleep. But you blokes will actually come together and do things. But you got the result, you know, obviously you were hoping for. Do you believe that if you hadn't have had the footage, that if you hadn't have had the facts and evidence on your side, that they would have, and it wasn't so glaringly obvious that they were of their corruption and thuggery, that you would have got that result?
Oh, I don't believe I would have got that result, no, because I don't believe that our system is righteous in any way. I think it's completely corrupted. I mean, we have in Victoria, the state that I live in, we have, and this is the same with all the states, we have what's called a massive conflict of interest. I call the government and the police and the judiciary, I call them just a cartel, because the executive government, so that was Daniel Andrews. You probably heard that name before.
Yeah.
Yeah. So he was basically his mob appoint the judges. So if he's appointing the judges, who's going to adjudicate against them if they're committing crimes? On top of that, they appoint the police commissioner and the deputy commissioner and most of police command. So if police command is being appointed by the executive government, then who's going to arrest those corrupt individuals that are working for the executive government? Well, none. Then we have what's called IBAC, which is the Independent Broad-Based Anti-Corruption Commission, which has a purpose, a primary purpose of investigating police and government corruption. And it's meant to be independent, but it can't be independent because it's funded by the executive government. So you can see the conflict of interest here. What we think we have operating, you know, in a way that's it's fair and equitable is actually all for show. It doesn't operate that way. But I really should give you a bit more background on sort of how this all came to be with this. Yeah. Because it started at the very first lockdown, that hard lockdown started, I think it was April. I'm pretty sure it was April 2020. And I had a gym. So I just kept my gym open, but I didn't just keep it open. I kept it open publicly. And that's what a lot of people didn't do. We needed people to publicly disobey the bad laws. So I was very public and bold about it. And of course I had many people coming to my gym because they wanted to be a part of this boldness. But then when the police came, the first time the police came to my gym, we filmed this and it became a viral video right at the beginning of the first lockdowns. And obviously the whole world was watching, looking at Melbourne, Victoria, because of the nature of these lockdowns and how hard they were. So these police came. I've gone out the front with my mate. We had about 24 people in the gym. The police ended up leaving after we had a bit of an interaction with them, a bit of a moral one, but a legal discussion as well. Walked back into the gym, everybody except for one has run out the back door and jumped over barbed wire fences into other factories to get away. And I realized the problem we have is fear. These people are so scared. And what are they scared of? Why are you scared? They're just people. Let's have a chat with them. Be polite, have a chat. Anyway, the next day we did a little rally at my gym. And then the day after, I had 22 police come to my gym and a member of the DHHS, which is like the health department. And they were trying to shut me down. And this became another viral video that we shared because we filmed the whole thing. I've run out to help one of my mates, a young 19-year-old kid. He's trying to drive home, and the police had blocked every exit point from the gym. So they all the roads were blocked. And I've run out to help him, and I'm having a chat with the police. And as I've come back to my gym, the other guys in the gym have locked the gate. And it's like a 6.5-foot gate with barbed wire around it. That's just the situation there, that I can't even get back into the gym, and now I'm surrounded by police. So I had this discussion with the police, and on the video you can see probably about, you know, 8 to 10 police, but it was actually 22. And the police were threatening to arrest me. And because I'd done quite a bit of legal research in the past, and I found it very boring, but this is divine providence, I started going to a group called the Community Law Research Group about 8 years prior to that first lockdown. I had all this knowledge that I didn't actually know I had until I needed it and I was able to call upon it. And I knew that they needed my consent to enter the property. And they did, and I wouldn't give them consent. So then they're threatening to arrest me. And I said, look, you can't arrest me for saying that I don't consent. You're trying to pressure me to consent to letting you in, but I don't consent. I don't have to consent. And if you've got the authority to enter the property, you're going to do it without my consent. Okay. And then they said, well, we're arresting you for obstructing the authorized officer. Anyway, this went back and forth, and they never arrested me, and they left. And this became another viral video, which had millions of views. And what the powerful thing about this is that people see that and they become inspired. And inspire means to have the spirit in. Okay. So they changes the way they think. People see it and they go, I resonate with that. That guy's right. And then when they're inspired, they do the same thing or something similar. And that was my hope, that we could inspire some confidence and some boldness and some courage. And I obviously was a professional fighter. I had nearly 40 professional fights. I've worked on the border of Arizona-Mexico border, going after cartel members that were trafficking kids. I'm not scared to have a crack and do what I know is right because I've got that faith. But I realized a lot of people were completely overcome with fear. And what does fear do? Well, it goes to war with your faith, and then it brings its friend doubt in. Doubt goes to war with your confidence. And then you end up with people that have no confidence, they have no faith, and they have no power anymore. Because the man that doesn't believe, or the man or the woman that doesn't believe they can accomplish something, can never accomplish that thing. You know, you have to at least believe that you can do it. And it's the belief that motivates you to accomplish these things. So anyway, that interaction became a contested hearing in the magistrate's court, where I was convicted. And then I did a review to that conviction and I won in the Supreme Court. And that was, I was self-represented in that case. And that was one out of, I had four court cases. I've got two still going, or one of them's pretty much done, but there's still a few things to finalize, and I have one more. But out of four so far, I've won three of these court battles. And these court battles are all, it's all lawfare. It's attack the guy who's speaking out and breaking down the narrative, because if you understand that the false narrative that these people create is where they get their power from, they create these narratives, climate change, you know, COVID, whatever it is, to justify taking power. We need to break that down. And of course, you know, without having the confidence, boldness and faith to do it, we're not going to do it. And that's the problem. So really this root cause and stem of the problem that we have is people failing to have the confidence to stand up for principles that they know are true and correct.
Yeah, actually, just on that too, here in New Zealand, we have the same sort of thing. It's called, it used to be called the Police Conduct Authority, where if you had a problem with the cops, something they've done, you right away to them, or you'd go and complain to them, and the police would investigate themselves, usually find nothing was wrong unless it was so blatant they had to throw you a bone. And then because people realised it was so corrupt, the government decided, we can't have that. We can't be seen to be corrupt. That would be not good. And so they added independent in front of the name. Independent Police Complaints Authority. Nothing changed, just the name. And all of a sudden people thought, no, they're independent. It says it. It's just like, come on, you tossers. You know what I mean? These people don't care.
That was that we investigate. We had an investigation. We lodged an investigation with the IBAC, which is meant to be independent, and they handballed it over to the police. I think the police conduct unit or internal investigations or something like that. And then they investigated themselves and said, "Oh, we've done nothing wrong here." This is exactly what happens, right?
It's like asking the serial killer, "Have you been? You know, can you investigate someone killing people?"
Yeah. Look, I'll investigate myself and my own corruption, and I'll tell you right now that I didn't do anything wrong. Right, that's what it is. The fox guarding the hen house.
Yeah, it's like the New Zealand government said to be one of the, I think, the third least corrupt in the world, but they've just got a much better way of hiding it and the way they've set up our judicial system. Because since the introduction of the Constitution Act, 1986 New Zealand Constitution Act, which was completely unlawful, by the way, it shouldn't even be there. It should still be the 1852 one. They basically... Because basically what happens when a sovereign, the queen, we know it's all corporate, but let's just follow me here, people. This is for people out there. When a sovereign basically gives you your independence, although we are anyway, you then come together as a people and decide what laws you wish to be under, what's parliamentary system and all that sort of stuff. What happened here in New Zealand is that the government shut down one day, opened up the next, business as usual, everything was titular title, and they carried on. That never happened, see? New Zealand Parliament operates under assumed parliamentary sovereignty and the highest court in the land. Exactly what you were saying before, going back to the fact that they will do anything and everything they want. It doesn't matter how much you protest, how much you wave your flags, how much you do petitions or letters to the editor, nothing's changing. We've told people this agenda's coming whether you like it or not. And unless you, like you, stand up and actually physically push back, and that's the part I want to get to, that's the part that impressed me most, it's never going to change. While all these people are waiting for the second coming, that ain't coming. Because they are the second coming. They're just asleep at the wheel at the moment. As soon as they get triggered and all come together, we'll be fine. But one thing I was surprised, when you were reading that judgment, I've never seen it here in New Zealand. I'm hoping to see it here. But over there, you still have a little bit of a sense of no one's actually above the law, and you have the absolute right to self-defense when you are being threatened or somebody else who cannot look after themselves. You can come to their defense. It's completely lawful. And it doesn't matter if they're wearing a uniform. You can rightfully crack them, drop them to remove the threat, can you not?
Well, yeah. So the way it works, so I started a group called the Australian Peacemakers, right? This is why I was targeted the most, because I had police, after those interactions at my gym, I had police turn up to my house, 1 o'clock in the morning, midnight, just to check in on me. And I'd say, you're turning up to my house it's 12:37 at night. Why are you here? Oh, we're just here to check in on you. And I'd say, why? Oh, because you're a person of interest. I said, what's interesting about me? I'd say, well, you go to rallies regularly. Right. So this was happening all the time. Like this happened, there was at least five times that happened when I was here, because we started staying in other places to get away from that. Because I've got a family, I've got five children. I had four at the time. But anyway, so what was happening is the police were basically going as far as they could go without going too far, right? Because we film everything. And I started this group called the Australian Peacemakers based on the Bible verse, blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. And trying to get all those people that are just have a bit of confidence to follow their conscience and are willing to do something, and to build them up on those principles. So we started organizing rallies, including really big rallies, like massive rallies. We had the biggest rallies we've ever had in this country 2 weeks in a row in Melbourne. And this is exactly what they can't have. People united of all races and backgrounds united against them.
Yeah.
So then you get targeted, right? And actually, on this particular day, because you've started talking about it, I might as well just give the background. There was a rally that was organized that was actually cancelled, but we were going to go anyway because we knew that there was going to be police that were going to be there, and police had already been, you know, bashing people, unlawfully depriving them of their liberty with a tactic called kettling. I don't know if you've experienced that over there at the rallies, but police would take people, circle around a group of people and hold them there for hours and hours. And when people ask them, why are we being detained or arrested? No police officer will tell them why. So this is a massive human rights violation. Even it's a human rights violation by the international covenant, even from the UN, but even with our own human rights charter, it's completely unlawful. Because if you're detained or arrested, you have to be informed at the time of the arrest and detention. Now, I was teaching our group of peacemakers all of these aspects of the law. We had them in three different states. We had peacemaker groups, Western Australia, so Perth, we had a Sydney, New South Wales group, and we had a Victorian group. And we were teaching them that you have a right to self-defense, which was 322K of the Crimes Act, which actually literally says that the reasons for self-defense is there's three reasons that you can use self-defense. Can be to protect the person or another person. The defense of the person or another person. So you can go to somebody's aid to protect them. To protect the person or another person from the unlawful deprivation of the liberty of the person or another person. Or the defense of property. So all of our guys knew this. So we've gone to this rally, and it's actually a canceled rally, and we get surrounded by probably about 20 or 30 police, and then it ends up there's probably 100 to 150 police around us, small group of us, and I'm having this interaction with the police officer, and I learned as a fighter, because I had quite an extensive fight career, I learned this from my coach, actually, that don't focus on the things you have no control over, just focus on what you do have control over, and by doing that, you actually close the door to doubt. Because when you focus on things you have no control over, those variables, that's very easy for doubt to get in your mind, and that affects your performance. So I'm speaking with this police officer. He comes up and he grabs me, this little guy, and he says, what's your name, mate? I said, oh, I don't talk to police. And he says, well, you will talk to me because I believe you are committing an offence. And I said, DPP versus Hamilton, which they learn in the academy. You know, so I've got a right not to speak to police unless I'm already under arrest. And he wouldn't let me go. He said, oh, I believe you're not wearing a mask. And I said, I've got an exemption. And he says, well, show it to me. He said, don't have to. I kept walking. I pushed his hands away and I kept walking. Then he grabbed me again. And then a whole bunch of police surrounded me. And I said to them, I said, how can you hold me here? And they go, well, we believe you're outside of your 5Ks. And I said, so they would need to have facts to establish that I'm outside of my 5Ks. Otherwise, they're relying on an assumption. I said, well, where's your facts that you're relying upon to establish your belief that I've committed an offence? And he said, well, you need to prove that you're not. I said, no, that's not how it works. I'm not guilty until you prove me innocent. You have to have reasonable grounds. And I quoted the High Court case, which was George versus Rocket, where I said, when a statute prescribes that there must be reasonable grounds for a state of mind, including suspicion and belief, it requires the existence of facts which are sufficient to induce that state of mind in a reasonable person. I'm a reasonable person. Where are the facts that you're relying upon to establish your belief that I'm committing an offence? And obviously he didn't know what to say. He thought, what am I? You know, his confidence completely went. And he was all confident at the beginning. And then at the end, he was saying, well, will you give us something? Will you tell us something? And I said, no, I'm not going to tell you something. I don't like you. I don't trust you. I think what you're doing is a vile action against the people. So this was back and forth for about probably 10 minutes. In the end, we were given an order to move on, which was an unlawful order anyway, because the power for the police to move you on doesn't apply to when you're protesting. But they gave us this order, we left. And then when we left, we had the tactical police. So they're the police that are like the riot squad, followed us. And then they wouldn't let us, continue walking. They'd block the footpaths. We'd walk around them onto the road. Then they'd start becoming violent with us. They'd start throwing, first they started pushing us, pushing the women to get us to react. And it was obvious that they were agitating us to react. Then they did it again and again. And finally, because our guys were really well trained, none of them reacted with violence back. So they couldn't escalate the situation anymore. So they finally ran across the road and just started bashing my mate. Tactical police. So the tactical police have tactical gloves that they are like brass knuckles. And they started punching into my mate, and we just ran in to defend him, to stop him bashing our mate. And in the process, there was about 30 police and there were six of us. And they ended up just getting the capsicum spray out, the batons out. They belted us. They broke my shoulder. They ripped it right out of my socket. I got a beating. Then I got put in jail for 29 days. And when I was released from bail, it was released from prison. It was with really, really strict bail conditions. And these bail conditions were essentially a full gag order where I couldn't speak about the police, the government, state or federal, the law, state or federal, the COVID pandemic or the chief health officer's directions on any platform, any forum, any social media. I couldn't use any of it. And I was charged with 24 charges of assaulting police, even though they assaulted us. So it was ridiculous. It's what we call charge stacking, where police will charge you with offences that you haven't committed. And in this case, the police had committed those offences. And then they use that to put fear into you, but fear doesn't work on me because I know what it is and I won't let it. And then if you're scared of these charges, they will then use that stack of charges to leverage you into pleading guilty to lesser charges, and that way they get off and they can then bail you and restrict your ability to speak, which is your greatest power that you have.
Absolutely.
So I was just going to say that's the case that we just had a big win. So yeah. And we had a really, really good judgment.
So there was the charge, you know, at your gym, and then this one defending your friend, and what were the other two cases about that you had?
There's one where one was with police following me into a shopping centre car park. This was the tactical police again, the same police that assaulted my mate, the same police officers. Some of them were the same police officers. That tactical police, and I live in the outer suburbs of like from the city and from where they're located. I'm like an hour away. Four tactical police cars follow me into a shopping center car park, and they just start harassing me, and they impounded my car, and that went back and forth. So that was obvious, and they were laughing at me when they pulled me over, and I was driving my auntie's car, and they knew exactly who I was. And then obviously, you know, later on, the same police end up running across the road and bashing my mate. So that was another one. That was just, it was deliberate, and it was targeted because this was after I'd kept my gym open and had those interactions with the police at my gym and those viral videos. And the other one was from another rally where police assaulted a woman, and I've gone to her aid, and they started getting violent with me. And because I touched the police officer's arm, they all just jumped on top of me, and one police officer got pushed over. You know, I pushed him when they just jumped on top of me. And then, you know, that's like you got to go to jail for 10 years for that, when they actually escalated and created the situation that caused me to react in the first place. So that's very similar to what happened on this last case, where we had that really good ruling, because the judge could see how bad the conduct of the police was. But I can give you some details about it, but I don't know if you've got any questions about that ruling.
I'll ask about that in a moment, but I'll give you a quick state of play in New Zealand. Let's throw it out there and see if it's similar to Australia. In New Zealand, we have a criminal syndicate masquerading as a government who takes its marching orders from a global cabal, just as parasitically leechy as these bastards here. They have their own little foot soldiers like the New Zealand police and military, who seem to be asleep at the wheel at the moment, because all these ones who are meant to be you know, military. I mean, there's enough evidence to charge all of these people. I mean, when we had our Wellington protest, just like you said, police come and started bashing everyone, firing rubber bullets. They weren't all police, by the way. Some were brought in from the riot squad, you know, cell breaching from the prisons. Others are brought in from other places. They seem to delight in it. You know, these are the your complete psychopaths and psychos that just love inflicting pain on people. And they don't care who they target. We have... I've stated publicly that the New Zealand police have no moral or legal or lawful authority to police in this country now, because they are in lockstep with a criminal organisation that is causing major human rights abuses, and they are responsible for a hell of a lot of deaths and injuries in this country through that bioweapon we call the jab. I've also argued with people way back when we first started the show. We were told, you know, we were offered money to propagate the Wuhan lab leak for when this, when we smashed the narrative of the whole COVID existence thing. Mm-hmm. You know, where flu took a vacation and this came here. And we know if the virus doesn't exist, how can it leak? You know what I mean? I put it more down to the turning on the 5G radiation towers that mess with the body and cause a viral response from the body to try to cleanse itself. Then it eats itself away and gets sick. But do you, in your mind, because you guys have a constitution, actually written constitution, we don't, we have a constitution act, it's all play and theatre over here. Do you believe that Australia is pretty much exactly the same as New Zealand, as it is in the US, as it is in London, throughout Europe, that's getting completely smashed? And for some reason, the ones they used to accuse of being communist countries seem to be more bloody free than we have ever been, you know, in history. It's complete and utter... Right, and you're right about the division. They assign division left, right, and centre, that, and then they bring you the solution on a platter. You know, the Hegelian dialect, where they come and they create the problem. Like they say, oh, there's this disease, it's wiping out mankind. You can look out the window, no one was dropping dead, you know what I mean? And then so everyone goes, oh, no, save us. They go, well, it just so happens, we've got a jab. Come and get it, you'll be safe. You'll be able to visit grandma and all. And then they, you know, 2021... safe and effective. 2022 died suddenly, but it's down to climate change. You having exactly the same thing we're seeing here? Are you seeing exactly the mirror image in Australia?
100% all of that. 100% the same. And going, you talked about how they've created that, what is it, 1986 constitution, which isn't,
yeah.
And it should have been like the 1851 constitution, and it's the same over here. Like, we do have a constitution, but what they did, we've got this thing called this act called the Statute Law Revision Act, where they literally rewrote every single act that from 1973 backward, all the way back. They replaced the name Commonwealth or Commonwealth Government or anything that has Commonwealth in it with Australian Government, right? They replaced all of it. They just create these people are just so shifty, and yeah, they create laws out of their power because they want us. They know that we're ignorant. We have been ignorant, and they've made it. It's the Roman circus. Keep us busy with things. Hey, look, you can do well. You can have a nice house, a little holiday house here, if you work hard and you do what you say. But don't rock the boat and don't learn about that. And this is what they've done. They've created a culture. I mean, I think the one of our biggest problems is the especially with the division, is how they're. It's the Marxism in the schools. Like, I homeschool my children. I won't let my children be damaged by. I don't want them to become gay communists, because that's what they want them to be. So people say, "Why do you have five children, Nick?" I go, "Because I'm a rebel. They don't want us to have children. I'd have more if I could, right? But it's a lot of work for my wife. But this is the thing, right? They want the children, this next generation, to hate their culture. They call it Xmas, not Christmas anymore, because you don't want to offend people of different faiths.
Or so, happy holidays.
Happy holidays. You've got Australia Day. That's they're calling that. There's a big campaign to call that Invasion Day now. Invasion Day, because you're going to hate everything about Western culture, and this is the other one that they're doing is mass immigration. We went from 80,000 immigrants a year to now 1.2 million. That's just starting now. We already have a housing crisis. How are we going to deal with 1.2? That's a major city every year. So this is being done on purpose by design, because then we have people with different values, different culture, different identity, different languages. And this is an ancient Assyrian tactic as well. The ancient Assyrians thousands of years ago did the same thing. They would invade a city state. They would remove the locals and put them all throughout their empire and bring people from all different parts of the empire in. And that was how they, and that way the people couldn't really unite on any firm foundation, because we're all different. We're all different, and it takes time to build those relationships again. So you can see what's happening. Blind Freddy can see it. And this is not about, I'm not saying that you can't have immigration. Immigration's good when they're good, when the people are vetted and they share your values. But when they don't, it's no different than putting an acid and a base together in the same space and expecting that to work and function correctly, and it doesn't.
Yeah, we've definitely got the same thing happening here in New Zealand with immigration. They're just allowing far too many people into this country right now when our healthcare system is broken, our education system is broken, we've got a housing crisis, we've got people on benefits living in motels and on waiting lists for actually homes, and it's going to be years before many of these people actually get their own home. But yet our doors are open and we're just allowing so many people in, and they actually know how to actually use the immigration system to get what they want. And it's not that, like you just said, we're not anti-immigration, but it's what types of people and how many people. And we know definitely, Nick, that it's the same in Europe, how they are, you know, really causing a lot of mayhem with this experiment, because it is a multicultural experiment. And it doesn't mean that I don't respect other cultures in different countries, but I also want to be able to be proud of my culture. Yes. And, you know, my heritage is German. I'm a first generation Kiwi, and Germans have actually been raised to feel completely ashamed of who they are because of the war. And let's not go down that track. That's a whole other story.
Oh, we will. We absolutely will. Because all of the lies and the bullshit from history is, we know, they've lied to us about everything, about our very existence on this plane.
Yeah, well, the point I just wanted to make is that it was like implied through the culture, that I was to be embarrassed of who I was and embarrassed of my German ancestry. And, you know, I got called a Nazi and everything like that growing up.
If I had known, I would have exercised that warranty, I tell you now.
But I actually just want to say here, I am proud to be German, and I am proud of my German heritage. And yeah, I'm a Kiwi as well, but I actually like my European culture. And that doesn't mean I don't like Māori culture or Aboriginal culture or Chinese culture, whatever. That's for other people to connect with, because that's their culture, and I want to be able to be proud of my culture and not be embarrassed about it anymore.
Oh, Myra Scotts. That's like Braveheart meets the IRA. You ain't kind of control me, mate.
Yeah, but, Nick, they'll say that we are white supremacists because we just like our culture.
Yeah.
That's it. They call you racist for calling a spade, just like they did with your COVID denier. You know, I don't know how many mainstream media articles there were calling me COVID denier, conspiracy theorist for trying to whenever they call you names, then you know you're right, because they have to do that. They have to demonize you, because the truth, and I'm going to put it in biblical terms, you've got Satan who runs this world, and his special power, the power that God doesn't have and doesn't use, is his ability to lie. And you see, the agents of Satan are the people that go along with the lies when they know their conscience says that's wrong, but they go, you know what? But the stuff from the lie, the spoils, the money they're going to pay me, or whatever it is, the status and standing amongst my fellow man, that's more important to me than the truth. And then you've got the people like us that go, the truth is more important, and there's no price on that. And I teach this to my children all the time. Like a while ago, I was doing a lesson with my children. I said to my three older boys, one, they were 11, 11, 8, and 6. I said, what's the difference between a spiritual thing and a physical thing? And I'm not preaching to anyone here. And they said, oh, I don't know. I said, I got my youngest of the three, who was 6. I said, put your hand out. And I said, can I put money in your hand? And he goes, yep. Can I put gold in your hand? Yep. Can I put chocolate in your hand? Yep. They're physical things. Can I put courage in your hand? No, Dad. I said, can I put confidence in your hand? No. Can I put love in your hand? No. But aren't they real? If I can't put them in a box and give it to you, how is it real? I can't see it. And they go, yeah, of course it's real, Dad. I said, well, how much money would you want for all of your courage? And they're like, yeah. I'm not selling my courage, Dad, because they're the spiritual things that are far more important than the physical stuff. But the world's flipped on upside down. We're in the upside down world where people aren't even thinking about those spiritual things anymore. They're not inspired by those things, and they're more inspired by, well, I've got to do what I've got to do to pay my bills, because obviously we suffer from what's called economic terrorism, where they're inflating the dollar all the time and it's losing its value.
Yeah.
And then because of that, you know, people are selling part of their soul, maybe in some cases all of it, so that they can have some things and some comforts. But that's not what this life's about. And that's where I think I have a real advantage, is I don't care about those things. So I'm willing to suffer whatever it is for those true principles, because those true principles, when you suffer for them and you endure for them, you prove to everybody that sees you and your suffering, you prove the value of those principles. Because why would you go and suffer for something that's not true and not valuable? Well, you wouldn't, right? So, and this is what's happening in the world. There's a lot of people I'd say this is like a revival of true principles and true values. Mm. And actually the Western culture and the Western countries, I believe that's the reason why we were so blessed, was because, and why we did so well, because we did apply some amazingly powerful principles. Like you look at the laws, not the laws we have now, but the laws we had back then, like the common law, you know, your right to be heard, and all of these principles that existed that made society so much better and fairer and equitable and just. But then you've got, they've been, you know, dismantling our society with the academic class, who have been filled with all of this woke culture and all this hatred, and they're trying to create the new culture. And while they're trying to create the new culture, they're diluting our culture with every other culture. And this is an obvious attack on Western values, because, you know, and I'll use the Bible as an example. 52 countries right now have restricted or completely restricted or heavily restricted the Bible. Now you don't hear the word Christianophobe, do you? But you do hear the word Islamophobe.
Yep.
Right? Why when there's 52 countries that have made it's against the law to have the Bible, why wouldn't we have that word Christianophobe? Because it's not part of the narrative. We have to be gone, and our society has to be gone. Our rights have to be gone. Our privacy, our freedom to speak, our freedom to, to teach, our freedom to move, all of those things that we have. And really, it's ultimately our freedom to exercise the one sovereign gift that we truly have from the Almighty God. You know what that is? That's our ability to make our own decisions.
Yeah, your own human agency.
Yeah, because no one can take that from you. Even if they put a gun to your head, that's coercion, but they can't take it. They can say, you're gonna call me the emperor. And I can say, well, I'm going to kill you if you don't. Okay, I'm still not going to call you the emperor. You have that power. That's what they want to manipulate and take from you with fear, coercion, and bribery.
And you said it yourself. I mean, I've always said the same thing. I mean, like I said, when I gave shit before about the plastic Christians, we have a lot of them in this country. These are the ones who willingly lined up to get the jab. So much for God's great design. The body can heal itself. I mean, everything, every ailment known or unknown to man is here. It was always been here for us to access. But these other shills come on in and they tell you a completely different story, and they're very persuasive, very deceiving. I'm not a Christian, by the way. I'm not religious in any way, shape, or form. But what you say resonates with me. Why? Because it's common sense, logic, reason, and it's real. Yeah. I do believe in a higher power, that I do. I ain't met it. I ain't seen it. So until I can quantify, I'm about facts and evidence. You know what I mean? I'm not going to say, I mean, that book justifies the book. Otherwise, I'll bring up Winnie the Pooh and say, well, shit, he's real as well. You know what I mean? But what you're saying and what you've drawn from it is bang on. That's what needs to go out there. Not these idiots, the pastors who are the plastic pastors who would not let you go and pray because you weren't jabbed. You know what I mean? So much for those idiots, because they didn't want to lose their tax-free status and all that sort of thing. These are the ones you're talking about. These are the pretenders who are the deceived, and willingly so, because they will not open up. They will not hear any opposing view but their own. We get challenged all the time, and our position's always simple. Prove me wrong. Just prove me wrong. And in their desire and hatred for me to try to prove me wrong, they realize they can't. Hopefully at that point they have a little spark that say, shit, I'm in the wrong position here. Something's wrong. Unfortunately, some of them are too far gone, and you've got different platforms catering for what they call the wobbly middle. They're useless. They will move and run with the bloody tides, the ebbs and flows. Those are the people who will get a new dictator, take a dictator in tomorrow, and they will be bowing to them. Another one the day after, they'll bow to them. They are just the middle. Then you've got the ones who are almost militant in their views, that you have to conform to what the government says, and you are the enemy otherwise. And they are attack you if you don't. They're not government, but they are people who will physically attack you if you don't. Like you said, like the cops come after you. These are the brainless zombie morons sent out as the foot soldiers, or let's just say the demons of Satan, if we're going that way. And then you've got the few who can see it clear as a bell, clear as day. And you can see it manifest, and you don't understand why no one's getting it. And you tell them in different ways. You say, okay, well, what will get through to these people? If I give an example, will they get it? Do you find sometimes it's like hitting your head against a brick wall, and the people actually get quite vicious, and because it's almost like they're angry that they know deep down that you've just destroyed the foundation on which they stand, but they're attacking you because they were wrong? Do you get that?
Yeah, I don't waste much time with people like that anymore, because if you don't have a love for the truth, you're not going to accept it. They create a delusion in their mind. And I just apply the biblical principle, which actually, in human psychology, modern psychology confirms this, that those who can't deal with the truth or don't want the truth or don't love the truth will create a delusion in their mind. That's a Bible verse. It literally says that. It says those who love not the truth that they could be saved will be sent a strong delusion and believe a lie. And then you see that in modern psychology. So these people, it's because of their weakness that they have, and the reason they have the weakness is because of fear and doubt and anxiety and all these things that biblically we're told not to have. And because they're filled with those things, they become diminished, right? All of the powerful stuff inside of them just gets beat down and put in chains.
Mm.
Because of that, out of self-preservation, because of their lack of power and lack of confidence and lack of faith and courage, they create a delusion to be able to deal with the reality. So there's no point trying to tell them this stuff, because the truth means nothing to them, because they can't deal with the truth. It's too much. So you need to just, teach them about other things like confidence and having faith and not being scared. Once you do that, then maybe they can start to take on some of this. They'll have the mental fortitude to be able to take on some of this information.
Yeah, and I think that's a great assessment of where we're at, because, with the story with AstraZeneca now coming out and taking their product, their jab, off the market themselves because of the side effects, that is fully broken into the mainstream. And how many people are actually just going to ignore that? And, they've all got, not all, but a lot of people have jab injuries and they still don't even want to admit that it was the jab. And so now you've got this information just right in their face, and they still, like you say, don't want to admit it because they've created such a delusion for themselves.
Yeah, and this is where, I think they're too far gone. If they can't see it when it's right in front of them, I think it is too late, because you can't get the truth into their minds at all at this stage. They'd probably commit suicide if they really took it all in. It's too much for them, and that's sad. But the warnings were there, and the preparation time, because it's mental preparation that I'm sure you guys went through it. I was preparing myself for what was coming before it happened. So when the lockdowns happened, I was calling out the lockdowns when we had a policy years prior to that called no jab, no pay, no jab, no play, where the government wouldn't pay you, they wouldn't pay for your childcare if the kids weren't vaccinated, and you wouldn't get
you weren't allowed to go to kindy or daycare.
Yeah, there's a few policies like that. I was saying they're going to bring in mandatory vaccinations back then, and people thought I was mad. A lot of them, though, now have reached out and said, we all thought you were crazy, but now, you know, they have the integrity to say that. But I was preparing before, and this is the divine providence there. Something inside of me said, oh, I need to get prepared for this thing. Other people haven't been. They've been busy just living life, having fun, and then obviously whenever people like us say something that's true, that got cuts to the core of their foundation, they become angry. I think that's what's psychologically happening. They become angry with you, and then they have to belittle you, and because it makes them feel better, because that truth that you're sharing is not something that's good for them. For us, it's good because I just look at it like an opportunity to grow. I go, okay, I can use this courage, and I can invoke courage in other people because I have it. And then by using it, like doing weights, you've got to have resistance to build the strength. So we're going through this spiritual battle, the psychological battle, and it makes our psychology and our spirit stronger because of this situation. So I look at it in a very positive way, but if you don't have the strength and capacity and quality of character to deal with that, then how you can't. It's impossible for them. So I don't even waste my time with them, really. I have a chat with those sorts of people, and I try to share what I can, and I try to add some value and help them. But ultimately, I think you're too far gone.
Yeah, and I basically think what you're saying, Nick, is that you're no longer talking to the sheep, but you're talking to the sleeping lions, and you just want to kind of get those guys rising up and roaring, and where they can feel confident, like what you're saying. I think you're such a great example of that. So maybe if we can just bring it back to your story before we wrap it up. So
because yours is the perfect embodiment of what's wrong with the state and how courage is contagious and you can actually win.
Yeah, and so I don't know if you want to talk about the other cases and where, or that other one in particular, where it's at, but or go a bit more into detail as to how you actually won that big case recently.
Yeah, sure. So I was prosecuted for those 24 charges of literally being my mate being assaulted and me defending him, you know, being put in jail, all the rest of it. I was dragged through the courts for 3 years, and when we would get nearly that ready for a trial, we would lose the judge and would lose the prosecutor, and then we'd have a new one, we'd have to start again. And this happened 3 times. So it was lawfare. It was clear to me that it was lawfare. But what happened, and I think the prosecutors were pulling out because they knew that I'm going to lose my career if I don't do the right thing here, but I don't want to prosecute this guy and these guys because they haven't done anything wrong. Because there's the element that the psychopaths can't completely control is the conscience, right? A lot of people, they know that, you know, there's something wrong. I don't want to do something that I feel is wrong and I believe is wrong, even if there's a lot of money or a lot of whatever else it is to bribe people into going along with these things. So I think that a lot of that was happening. But anyway, what we ended up doing about a year ago in this case was ran a collateral challenge to the lockdowns. We started because it was during a lockdown. So we wanted to challenge the legalities of the lockdowns. And at the same time, we did a 138 application from the Evidence Act, which sounds really boring, but basically we wanted the judge to throw all of the evidence out. And the judge actually said, but the evidence favours you. It's clear that the police have committed offences against you. This is in open court, right, in the pretrial. And we said, yes, Your Honor, but if you remove all of the evidence or deem it as inadmissible, there fails to be a case for the prosecution to prosecute. And she agreed. She goes, okay, that makes sense. And then she gave us that. And she literally said that the police had incited us into that reaction. And they can't say, like, the police can't say that they were shocked at how we ran into to defend our mate and used force. They can't say that because they had a briefing for the protest day, which had loads of pages on me, on our peacemaker group, and it said in this briefing, it was a police briefing, that if I was believed I was being unlawfully treated or any of our group, that I would use force to stop the police. So when the police ran across the road and started bashing my mate, they knew full well how we would react, because I'd publicly said that we would react that way, and we did, and which a lot of people said, oh, you're crazy, you can't hit the police, you can't use force against the police. And I said, you can. The law's very clear. You can, if you're the police are bashing someone, murdering someone, doing something like that, you have every right to use force to defend yourself or to defend somebody else that you see being assaulted or harmed by the police. You have every right to do that. Having a uniform is not a justification for people to commit crimes. So we ended up having that judgment, which then caused the prosecution to discontinue all of the charges because they can't even use their own statements. It's kind of like if the police were to bash somebody to get a confession, that wouldn't be admissible in court. So we've gone after everything. We said everything they did was to get us to react so they could charge us for the reaction. And the judge agreed that that was exactly what they did, and she's deemed all of it inadmissible. So they have no case anymore. And so many people said to me, you can't win, you can't beat the police. And I'm living proof that three times I have, 3-0 out of three so far.
It's almost like the fight stats.
That's right. So the idea that you can't is and I self-represented in two of those cases. And the other one, they're all COVID ones. And then the third one I was completely different. I had to rally heaps of people and heaps of public support. And we got really good lawyers involved that were on the same page. And by running that collateral challenge to the lockdowns, that brought a lot more people in because they wanted to see an outcome there as well. So you can win, but you have to be willing to endure to the very end. You can't go halfway and go, oh, it's getting too hard. Because if you do that, you don't deserve the win, I think, morally. I think you deserve to not be treated the way you're treated. But I think if you're going to battle against, truth versus evil, you if you're with the truth, you have an obligation to go all the way to the very end.
Yeah.
And it's the same with the jabs. All those people that said, I had so many people say to me, Nick, just get the jab. You can't win, mate. You can't win. And I would say to these people, what do you mean you can't win? You haven't even fought yet. Yes, you haven't even had the fight. At least have the fight first. And if you lose, at least you can still, you still maintain your integrity and your honor. But you haven't even fought. You can't.
Yeah, don't be a fucking coward and do nothing. At least stand up and give a good fight so that your kids can actually be proud of you. And you can actually, your kids will actually be able to say, my dad stood up and fought and he won. And so many other kids will just say, oh, well, my dad did nothing.
The one fundamental thing that everyone seems to be missing, and I'll tell you, we're the top of the damn food chain. The created can never be greater than its creator.
Yep.
We created these bastards called government. They are our servants. We kick the shit out of them when they misbehave, not the other way around. That's how it works. We're the top of the food chain. They dress up in their little police uniforms like dress-ups at a bloody drag party. That doesn't mean they're over us and have authority over us, because I want them to show me where I ever delegated them my power to live my life. I never did. I want them to show me where in their fraudulent system I'm the person, the pig lad in person. I'm a man. You're the person called a corporation. You have no power and authority over me. I will do what the hell I want. If I want to share links, I'll damn well share links. If I want to post shit, I'll post shit. Why? Because other people want to see, they want to know, and we want to discuss. So that's exactly what will be happening.
Well, and that's as long as you do no harm, right, Nick? Because, we've got to have some golden rules in life.
But that's just common sense, logic, and reason. I'm talking about the hierarchy here.
I know, and I'm just saying, just for anybody who may be confused out there, that, we're kind of advocating for some sort of anarchy where people can just do whatever they
Anarchy's
want.
Anarchy's great. Why? Because we rule ourselves.
It just means no master, no slave as well, but that's another misconception about that word. Exactly. I'm just clarifying that, Nick, it's not about just being unruly and doing whatever you want, is it? We do still have honour and we do still have rules that we're going to live by.
Yeah, and they're the moral. There's a really good book called The Law by, what's his name? Bastiat. His last name is Bastiat, anyway. And what is this great quote in there? It says, if they want people to follow the rules, they should make the rules respectable. No, the law's respectable. And I think, and I've shared this at the police headquarters before when we've had a rally there, and I said, if you want us to follow your laws, you need to be making them respectable laws. That's the problem, you know. And if the parliament's going to pass laws that are not respectable, we have an obligation not to respect them. And it's all about conscience, like you're saying, conscience and reason. And I think it's important that we do clarify these things, because people can take a little bit of what we say and take it out of context, because that's happened to me many times. And I've said that you can use force against the police for these reasons, and then people will take that little snippet and post it everywhere and say, look, he's saying that you can fight with the police. And actually they use that in court when I was in my bail hearing to justify keeping me in jail. And if they had have done that, I'd still be in jail now. So it is important. But yeah, look, we have to get the warrior class back. We're being run by academics, and
right there
are not the people who should be leading. They should be the ones that should be giving us the leaders' good information. Here's all the paper. You know, you wouldn't get an engineer to build your house. It's not this smart idea. It won't go down really well. So exactly. What you want to do is you want the builder to do that. Someone that can make decisions, look at the information, make a decision quickly, rather than the academics out there who have to spend 10 hours and do all, you know, on one particular thing, focus on strain on the gnat and miss all the rest of it because they're so focused on this one little aspect. But sadly, the warrior class in the West across the board has been diminished and attacked, and they've done a great job at getting rid of the men, which is where many of those warriors should be, and just that masculine energy. They don't want us to have it. So I would say to everybody, be rebels against this anti-God, anti-truth, cartel, and actually be men and be real women and be empowered and be strong and be warriors. Because it's, even though the culture now, the way it is, might not look fondly on a lot of, and I'll give you an example. Me standing up to police, a lot of people in the truth movement wouldn't do interviews with me because they thought I was just a crazy, violent man, right? They judged, and many of them actually apologized and said, I misjudged you. I didn't know all those variables, but they believe what the mainstream had said about me because they'd seen the footage, and they were, oh, look, they didn't see the beginning part that caused our reaction. But we need that warrior class to work with the academic class, because the academic class would be like, you know, think of ancient Athens where they had everything sorted out. It was this beautiful society with this great, you know, these buildings were incredible. They had a society that operated in a very complicated way, but it was brilliant. But then you've got Sparta, who had all the warriors to defend that amazing society. You need both, and we need the warriors to come back and rise up. And until they rise up, we're going to continue to not get very far, because the academic class are trying to be the warriors and the leaders, and that's not, they're not in their lane. And that's something that I think is needs to be redirected, and we need the warriors back.
What you just said there is sort of pretty timely, actually, because we just, it should be up now, counterspinmedia.com/blog, and you'll see an article I just wrote about the creation of a new nation state. Under the Montevideo Convention 1933, there are four pillars that you required to become your own nation state: permanent boundary, a defined boundary, permanent inhabitants, a set of laws, and the ability to make to have relations and all that sort of stuff, and a flag, of course. And that's it. Then you defend it, like you say. Because why fight a system that's stacked against you and rigged to high heaven? Just walk away and say, no, we've decided this community is now our own. You guys get out. We're ruling ourselves. We've got our boundary. You don't cross it. I think that's the only way we start minimizing these people or these parasites. We start minimizing them. We start overlooking them, because they, just because they come in a uniform, it doesn't mean they're any more special or above you. In fact, the more authority they have, the less they are to you. They're actually further down the food chain, the more corporatized they are. You people are where it's at. You're the center of the universe. You are it. You're ground zero for creation. You're where it's at. Without you, nothing works. So take your power back. You don't realize you willingly gave it away because you got sucked into a nice story. And it's just led us all to where we are now. And all you other people who sit back and think, oh, we can get through this. There's no problem. If we just hide and he's getting beaten, but at least it's not me. Sooner or later, they'll have no one left to beat but you. So you either stand shoulder to shoulder with the other men and defend your families, defend your communities. Otherwise, believe me, what's coming down the line, which is coming whether you like it or not, so you're going to have to form a physical barrier sooner or later, is transhumanism. That is the end goal. These parasites think that they can upload their consciousness in a synthetic body and you guys will just be kept around to keep their machine going. That's it. The rest of you will be surplus to requirements, hence the carbon zero. You're the carbon they're trying to get rid of. Yeah. This is actually happening.
And I just want to reiterate and kind of build on what you guys both just said, because I've been thinking about this exact same thing. Because the thing happens here in New Zealand within the freedom community, right? So you've got the doctors.
It's pretty lame, really, here.
You've got the doctors, you've got the university academics, which, you know, are few and far between of standing out. But some of them did speak out first and stand out first. And then you've got, you know, people that are starting new media and they might have more academic backgrounds as well. And they all want to keep everything very sanitized.
And nice.
And, yeah, they want to speak things in academic ways because they think that that's the best way to reach people. But the majority of people out there, they're not in the academic class like what you're talking about, Nick. They're working class people that literally just, you know, want to enjoy their families. They, you know, there's labourers and there's tradies, you know, and there's nurses. And
they've got a hell of a lot more brains than the bastards in the university.
Yeah, and a whole lot of people that are just using their hands to help us live day to day.
Yeah.
And we speak to a lot of those people because, you know, we're considered, I don't know, working class or whatever. I mean, I have actually gone
social pariahs.
I have really actually gone to university, although I absolutely regret that and denounce that.
We forgive
that.
You.
Thank you. But my point is exactly what you're saying, Nick, is that we may get misunderstood as well because we're not necessarily academic enough. And we have actually stood up. Calvin, you know, speaks a bit like you, Nick, and wanting to speak to the true masculine of the men. But I do think you're absolutely right. I think people have got to look within even the freedom movement because there is becoming this kind of classist attitude. And I've actually had enough of it, because just because these people have gone to university and they can speak better doesn't actually mean they're actually better than any of us.
But they're as dumb as pig shit.
Just wait, there's not that many people that are like us. Like, so many people have actually, in the freedom movement, not even covered our story, Nick. Like you, they didn't cover your story. They will not touch. Like, they all talk about freedom of speech when it comes to their little bandwagon. But because we've shared a link to a documentary that challenges the Christchurch narrative, they do not want to even cover our story because they think we're too far out there or whatever. But it's like they don't realise.
They missed the point that the government lied through their teeth, the official narrative is bullshit, and they're using that to drive this internet censorship and to drive us into the ground. We ain't putting up with it and we ain't backing down. Fuck.
But they're all falling into the same trap. Like, they are falling into censoring themselves because they don't want their little nest to be disturbed. And yet, like what you said, like, if they don't speak up for us, if they don't speak up for you, Nick, like, those are the people that are going to be got at the end.
Yeah.
But like, we happen to be the ones at the tip of the spear, you know, because we're standing up to darker things, or you're literally taking the police on. I don't know. That's my little rant. I don't even know where to finish. Maybe, Nick, do you just want to wrap up your personal story?
And tell us where we can follow your progress. Give us all your social media channels. People need to follow you because especially the plastic Christians have a bit of Nick's pastorship. Because you need it, trust me.
Yeah, I've got the livingfreemovement.org. I run the spiritual me component, and I work on the lawful me with three other guys. That's livingfreemovement.org. I've got Fight Corrupt Police on Telegram. Fight Corrupt Police, so it's t.me/Fight Corrupt Police. That's t.me/Fight Corrupt Police. And I think what you were talking about just then is integrity. It's a lack of integrity, because integrity, you know, you use that famous example of integrity. A building needs to have strong structural integrity. If there's storms outside or floods or earthquakes, so if the external forces are such that the building can't maintain its structure, it means it lacks integrity. Well, we need to have spiritual integrity where it doesn't matter if they bribe you, they threaten you, they put fear into you, they peer pressure you, they do any of those awful things to you externally, the substance of who you are should never change. And I think part of that is you have to know what you truly believe in, and you have to go on that deep dive within and realize, hey, these are my values, these are my principles, and I will defend them to my last breath. And if we could be that kind of a people, we could change a lot of things with a very small group. We don't need to have this massive critical mass. It could be a very small group that could accomplish a lot. That have to be strong and empowered. And I just invoke everybody to be strong and empowered and to maximize who they are and realize that you were here on the earth at this time with this amazing opportunity to actually develop all of those spiritual gifts and attributes by standing up to the evil agenda, because it's so clearly evident and objectively observable right in front of us.
Yeah.
So if we just look at that and go, we're going the other way and we're going to fight against it in whichever way possible, I tell you what, you're going to find your soul, and you're going to become greatly empowered. And you're going to be happy with yourself, knowing that you've done what was conscionably right and true.
Yeah, without a doubt. A good summing up of the whole situation.
That's what we need, more of you.
Yeah, we need to just clone you and spread you all around the world. Hey, but before you go, what people may be wanting to know is, now that you've won that case, are you in a position to sue the police for unlawful arrest, kidnapping, assault, everything that they did to you?
So we'll do a civil case first, because you get statute barred after 3 years, although you could probably drag it out a bit longer because the case is just finishing now. So we'll do a civil case, but we'll also be doing a criminal prosecution. And in fact, one of our biggest newspapers over here did a report on it today, and they mentioned the importance of those particular police officers being prosecuted by the Office of Public Prosecution. So, yeah, it's an absolute must that criminal police committing offences are criminally prosecuted, and there's no statute of limitations on criminal offences. So we don't have to do it straight away, but definitely we've got 7 ex-police officers working with us, and that can help us, and their knowledge we can draw upon to put together prosecution briefs to prosecute those police officers and potentially put them in jail for a long time and set a precedent that will affect, not just here, but even other countries that have the similar systems, like common law countries, because if we can do that and we have that case, that can be at least influential on other states, and then people know that, hey, that's how you get them. I can get them now. I can get them 10 years after they committed this crime against me. Because a lot of people don't know that. They think if they don't win, when they just make a complaint and that gets knocked down, that's it. It's over. But it's not. Like, if you can put together a brief of evidence and lay formal criminal charges against the police, you can prosecute them if they've committed criminal offences. You just have to have the evidence, and that there's no statute on how long, there's no statute of limitations. It could be 20 years down the track. You could still prosecute somebody.
Brilliant.
Yeah.
That's brilliant.
All right, well, is there any final tidbits you want to tell us, or should we just wrap it up here?
I think you've given us that, lots of your time. For his final thoughts, and yeah. You just gave them, and then you're asking for another round.
All right, sorry, I get into this bad habit of the final. Yeah,
too many finals.
Okay, well, let's just wrap it up.
It's like a bloody State of Origin match.
I'll say thank you for what you do. I'm really grateful for what you do. I think you guys are great, and you're an absolute breath of fresh air. So thank you for giving me a voice on your platform as well.
Anytime, mate. Like I said, we were going to have you on the Truthathon, but we discussed it. We thought you deserved your own full episode rather than be lost in the crowd.
Yeah, because you really are amazing over there, and people just need to, take a drop of your courage and grow that and take action in the world in a positive way, because you can
grow
win.
Grow that and some damn balls.
Yep, Next living proof that you can
unless
win.
Unless you're a chick, you stay a chick, okay?
Because
you can't sew those bastards on. And you can't chop off your dick and call yourself a chick. It just doesn't work.
No. So thank you so much for joining us, Nick. We really appreciate having you on. And
good man.
Keep having babies.
Thank you.
Good man.
All right. Well, that was an awesome catch up, Nick. Carbon with Nick from Across the Ditch.
Tell you what, you don't get to interview many people who have got that type of presence.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Someone who's, it's self-belief. Belief in yourself and belief in the ability to make a difference and just do it. Overlook the threats and the assumption of power, because they have none. They have none over you. You are the top of the food chain. You are the creator of this system. Know that and walk it. See, I didn't care, because every now and then I'll go in our chats, like on X and Telegram and that. We've got great people on the Telegram chat, by the way. And we've got a few idiots who come in here and then, but they get smashed by everyone else because everyone else is cool. But these people don't know who they are. So they attack you. You know, it's just projection. And I do bait them, I bait them a little bit, because they are idiots. And some of them are actually raging Christian fundamentalists. But they're the plastic ones I keep talking about. You know, the ones who quote Bible and say, or the ones who just got baptized like not long ago, and all of a sudden they think they're so godly. Well, I'm not, like I said, I'm not religious, okay? I ain't got enough karma credits to make it into your pearly gates, but I promise you one thing. I will hold the gate open and I'll watch your back while you make it through safely. That's a promise.
Yeah, and it doesn't matter what religion you are or, you know, what belief system you have, but if you want to live a moral life and you want to do the right thing and you love truth, like what Nick was saying, having, you know, that love of truth that as your fundamental, then, you know, taking action in the world, using that free will that the creator, whoever it is, whatever it is, gave us, then we can create the world that we want to see. And like Nick said, and we've said before as well, it doesn't take everybody. It takes, 3%, I think they've proven. So 3% of you. Stay strong and do go and check us out on our social media platforms, Telegram, Facebook, and X.
Get to us through social. We're on Rumble, of course. We're on infowarsband.video.
Yep.
We've got a channel there. We're on the website, councilmedia.com. Go councilmedia.com/donate. Look, you guys have kept us on air. We're into our fourth year now. You guys have driven this. This is your platform. This is the people's platform. We don't sell out. We don't bow. We don't cow. And we certainly will not be subjugated. And we will have your back, because you've always had ours.
And unfortunately, we don't have a marketing team. So, you know, it means that you guys are our best marketers. So spread the word. Share all this content everywhere. And we will endeavor to keep going from strength to strength to bring you more content and more truth.
Yep, and on the way out, I want to give a shout out to the Common Law Group in Hamilton. You guys rock, coming together as a community, finding lawful ways around taking down councils and other government tyranny. I also want to give a shout out to Tracy Lynch and a team from the Law Council, who are doing a fantastic job in the courts on behalf of people as well. And all you people out there who are actually rolled up your sleeves, you're out there doing it. You're the unsung heroes who really need the spotlight instead of these pretend New Zealanders of the year who are completely and utterly nuts.
Yeah, and we want to thank the Counterspin team for their wonderful coverage of the Liz and Jonathan case this week. There weren't many other...
Samantha Costello, Lisa Williams, Marion, and...
And Mike.
Mike B.
Yep, you guys all did a fantastic job.
Who happens to be... a poet and a writer with Counterspin, very good.
Yep, and we also want to give a shout out to Team Zulu, who has been experiencing some health difficulties, but he is soldiering on.
Maybe because of the stress we put on him.
Yeah, so, you know, we're a tiny team here, but we are mighty, and we want to thank all of you at home for tuning in, and we look forward to seeing you next time.
We certainly do.
CounterspinMedia.com. Where lies come to die.